All right, should we do this?
Let's do it.
Do I say that every day?
One of us does.
All right.
From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry App.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Wednesday, July 8th. Today on the podcast, we'll hear more about Department of Corrections Commissioner Jim Baker, a guy who seems drawn to tough jobs. But first, today's headlines.
The Scott administration has released guidelines for the state's colleges and universities as they prepare to welcome students back for the fall semester. There are three main parts to the plan. One, try to keep COVID-19 off campus. Two, reduce transmission on campus. And three, be quick to identify and contain infections. These are the minimum requirements, and schools can implement stricter guidelines.
The health department reported three new cases of COVID-19 on Tuesday, one each in Chittenden, Windham, and Rutland counties. To date, over 71,000 tests have been administered, identifying over 1,250 cases of the disease. More than 1,000 people have recovered and 56 people have died.
More than 2,000 Vermont businesses have submitted applications for a COVID-19 relief program that was established by lawmakers and Governor Phil Scott. The fund began accepting applications on Monday, and it'll give out a total of $150 million in grants. Commissioner of Economic Development Joan Goldstein says the relief grants will be awarded on a first-come, first-serve basis. She says awarding them based on need or merit would take too long.
How do you decide who's more deserving of funds than others? We thought it would get to them way too late.
To qualify for the program, businesses need to have suffered at least a 50% loss in revenue in a single month due to COVID-19. The maximum grant for each business is $50,000.
When Jim Baker stepped down in 2009 after 30 years with the state police, he went on to forge a new career. He's become the guy state and local officials call when they've got a high-profile problem.
Like in 2010, when the State Police Academy was in turmoil, or 2012, when Rutland's police department was in crisis. Most recently, he was tapped to lead the Department of Corrections.
Yeah, and that is a tough assignment under normal circumstances, but with COVID-19, Baker's come under even more scrutiny, like over the lack of hand sanitizer in prisons that our colleague Emily Corwin reported on back in April. And the hot seat is nothing new for Baker. But as Nina Keck reports, this latest crisis comes while the 64-year-old is dealing with a personal one, too.
Jim Baker's office in Arlington is filled with police awards and photos, mostly of men in uniform. Baker doesn't wear one of those anymore. And with his stylish glasses, plaid shirt, and light blue sweater, he looks more like a preppy accountant than a former state police commander. But he says there was never any doubt what he wanted to do with his life.
Since I was a kid, maybe going back to fifth, sixth grade, I wanted to go into law enforcement. Never changed.
And more than 50 years later, he's still trying to get better at it.
One of the books that sits over here is Leading During Conflict. And in that book, it talks about you have to be present and you have to be awake. And it just isn't enough to come to work every day. You have to be awake and paying attention to everything inside an agency.
That book he's pointing to is by former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. It's called Call Sign Chaos. And to me, it seems like a good metaphor for Jim Baker. When he took over the Corrections Department in January, the agency was coming under fire over allegations of drug abuse and sexual misconduct among staff at Vermont's only prison for women. Then COVID-19 hit.
We're running an incident command system with people in different parts of the state, communicating two and three times a day through Zoom. It's calmed down a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but at the height of like when the inmates tested at St. Albans, that was a very stressful time.
Stressful not only because Baker was dealing with a public health crisis, but he was grappling with a personal one as well. In late 2017, doctors found a cancerous tumor on his kidney that had spread to his lungs. It was bad.
My life changed quickly, very quickly.
For more than 2 years, he traveled to New York City every 3 weeks for experimental treatment. First chemo, and then immune-boosting therapy. Because of COVID-19, Baker's been getting his monthly infusions in Rutland and works around them.
So on Wednesday, from the chair getting my infusion, testified at Senate Judiciary on corrections. So I didn't zoom in because I didn't want people seeing me sitting there in a sweatshirt, a pair of jeans with a with an IV hanging out of my arm. But I did testify.
His health took a nosedive in January when he had a bad reaction to one of those treatments. But today, sitting in his office, he looks good. A little heavier than he'd like. Weight gain has been a side effect of the treatments, he tells me. But his cancer has been contained, and according to his doctor, it's shrinking. That doctor, a highly regarded specialist in New York City, is part of the reason Baker agreed to take on the corrections job in the first place, a decision he admits his wife, Kim, wasn't thrilled about.
You know, if somebody needs your talents, and in my situation, somebody gave me a chance to live who has a talent that could easily say, no, I don't want to see you as a patient because I have enough patients, but took me on, saved my life. And I just feel like when you're put in that position, you've got to give back.
It's one thing to give back, but something else entirely to take on jobs again and again that most people, frankly, would run from. Like in 2012, when Baker was asked to straighten out the Rutland City Police Department. The city's heroin problem was exploding, and officers had been accused of racism, pornography, and other misconduct.
You know, obviously you walked in there, it was a very tough situation. Even folks that I knew were not happy to see me.
Before that, in 2010, then-Governor Jim Douglas had called on Baker to fix things at the Vermont State Police Academy. At the time, an instructor was being investigated for child pornography. 10 years later, state leaders called on Baker to take on corrections while he's fighting cancer.
I told him not to do it.
This is Chris Louris, the former mayor of Rutland and a close friend of Baker.
Baker willingly enters those shit storms because Jim Baker is the consummate public servant.
Not everyone feels so warmly toward Baker. Critics have called him arrogant, and he's been named in multiple lawsuits over the years. More recently, he's come under fire for access to hand sanitizer and virus testing protocols within the state's prisons. So I'm curious why someone who retired more than a decade ago with a full state pension would want to spend his golden years in such stressful jobs. And now he tells me it's not about the money.
The only way I can explain it, Nine, is the way I've explained it to people before. This is the way I roll.
Baker grew up in a big Irish Catholic family, just over the border in Hoosick Falls, New York. Both his parents were high school dropouts, he tells me, but they worked hard. His dad especially had a big influence. Baker remembers this powerful storm when he was a kid.
Trees were down and people were without power. And I remember my dad running out and getting into the back of a pickup truck with a bunch of other volunteers, clearing the roads, and it always made an impression on me.
Baker says his dad was on the local rescue squad, the village board, and in the National Guard, and relationships mattered. I remember the first time I interviewed Baker in 2010 at the Vermont State Police Academy. As we walked to his office, he introduced me to every single staff person we passed, including one of the cleaners. Baker says that's something he learned from his grandmother.
She just taught me that people matter. And I went into the people business, right? I mean, law enforcement is a people business.
He says people used to laugh at him in the state police because he carried around a three-ring binder with a photo of every employee.
And I would make notes in there about, you know, hey, here's Nina Keck. She's a trooper in Rutland. You know, she's married. She's got two kids. Her daughter's name's Maria, whatever the case may be.
Because Baker says if you don't know your staff, really understand what they're about,
you can't possibly get them to do what you need them to do as a leader.
He points to a closet in his Arlington office where he keeps the various binders and notebooks he's used over the years.
They're right in here in a box right in there.
Baker says he's been going through his mementos more, keeping what's important, tossing what's not, reassessing his long career. This latest job at Corrections, he thinks it'll be his last as a high-profile fixer. Initially, Baker says he only expected to head up corrections through April, but he didn't want to leave during the COVID crisis. Now, he's not sure how long he'll stay. He worries about his health, and he wants to spend more time with his wife, Kim. They were high school sweethearts, he says, smiling, and time with her and his family has become more precious. For VPR News, I'm Nina Keck.
And we've got Nina Keck here with us. Hi, Nina.
Hi.
So why a profile of Jim Baker, and why now?
Yeah, I was talking a couple months ago with our esteemed editor, Mark Davis, about Jim Baker leading corrections right as the COVID-19 situation was heating up. And the prison population was obviously a big concern. And Jim Baker was at the heart of this big public health storm at a time that I also knew he was dealing with his own health issues, namely cancer. He'd been fighting cancer for a couple of years. And as I talked about that with Mark, we were just realizing that again and again, Jim Baker had popped up in these really difficult situations. And we both kind of thought, wow, why? And so Mark suggested that I write a story and find out.
And as someone who has made a career out of law enforcement, did he have anything to say about the recent protests after the killing of George Floyd?
Yeah, he had a lot to say, calling the killing wrong and outrageous. He talked about being kind of at a loss for words. I found online a link to a video address that he gave his corrections staff about a week after George Floyd was killed, and he really lays it all out there. And when I talked to him about his own views, his own personal views about racism and bias in law enforcement, he talked about how much he had learned from Curtis Reed, who does a lot of diversity training around Vermont, is executive director of the Vermont Partnership for Fairness and Diversity. And Baker said he met Reed back in the 90s when the state police was grappling with its own well-documented gender bias cases. And Baker says that was kind of the start of his coming of age on issues surrounding equity and gender with the LGBTQ community and regarding race. But he said the last few months he's done a lot of thinking on it.
So, Nina, you've talked to this guy fairly extensively at this point. What is it about Jim Baker, and what did you learn from talking with him?
In the story that you just played, you know, Jim Baker talks about this book he's reading where people leading in difficult times have to be in the moment, they have to be awake. And I guess that's one of the things that's intrigued me about him as I've interviewed him over the years. He seems genuinely engaged in whatever crisis we're talking about, whether it's the Rutland City PD or what's going on at the police academy or right now in corrections. And I'm just kind of amazed that he keeps the energy and he can keep the focus. And I found it fascinating.
Well, Nina, thanks for the story and thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. We had additional reporting today from Karen Anderson and Peter Hirschfeld. And thanks to Jane Lindholm for live tweeting the governor's press conference.
And we want to take a moment to say goodbye to one of our longtime colleagues whose name you've heard many times in the credits of this podcast, Amy Kolb-Noyes. Amy's last day with VPR was on Tuesday. She's been with the station for nearly 14 years, producing and reporting segments like Dorothy's List and Public Post. She's brought us countless stories over the years of Vermonters who've stepped up in their communities.
And in the last 4 months, Amy stepped up herself to produce All Things Considered as we experienced a flood of news and as we launched this podcast. She's had a hand in producing many of the interviews you've heard on this show since it started. And I want to thank her personally for her great work in these extraordinary times. Her calm, level-headed demeanor has been essential as we've grappled with the news since March. So, Amy, thank you. And since you're not leaving Vermont, see you around.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thefrequency@vpr.org, and you can find us on Twitter at @thefrequencyvpr.
Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.